You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
False Hog Flirting Podcast. This is episode number 266 of East Central and his favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill here today, joined by our executive video audio producer slash engineer, Zach Burcham, and my forever co-host, Mr. Dakota Davis.
Today's episode features Mr. Sean Rao. Liberty defender Sean Rao is back in the house today. We're going to be talking to Sean about basically just one thing today. We're going to be talking about the Biden student loan forgiveness program.
I had written down Waldron football.
Yeah, I decided not to.
Because BRV might come back. I heard the rumor. I guess we'll just have to settle for student loan talk.
Yep, student loan talks. We're going to be talking, basically I put in the show notes that anytime we talk about student loans, it is in Sean's co-host contract that he has to make an appearance. That is what he's here for tonight. We're going to go through all of the details, who qualifies for it, what is in this package, and then can you get a refund if you've actually been paying for your student loans? Make sure you stick around to the end to find out the answer to that question.
We just don't know. This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. If you're a member of our Patreon at BossHogLiberty.com/Patreon, or jump on BossHogLiberty.com, click on the Patreon. You get all kinds of bonus content, including the show notes given to you the day of the show, maybe during the Patreon show if the host happened to forget to email it to you, but you get them, and you get some special content.
That's right, Patreon.com/BossHogLiberty, or as Jeremiah said, you can go to Patreon or BossHogLiberty.com and click the Support Now button. That is where you go to support the show every month, and they range in prices. You can name your price. It's just like Progressive Insurance with the name your price tool. You just tell us what you want to pay. You pay it, and we give you all kinds of goodies. In the show notes, you can read through ahead of time. We put all of the links that we use to make the show notes in there so that you can see where we're getting our information from. And then you also get some other bonus stuff. You get access to a Facebook group that is exclusive to those folks. You also get a bonus episode every month. That is where we do...
every week.
Sorry, did I say every month?
You did. That's slow planning. Are you?
Yeah. Well, set the expectations low, but then over-deliver. That's where we do things like eat pickle-flavored pork rinds. If you want to see stuff like that, then hop on over there. We appreciate all you folks. And then at $50 or more a month, then you get a shout-out at the front of every episode. And those folks... are Mr. Jonathan Phillips, our favorite car dealer in the continental United States.
I am efforting a deal with John right now.
You're trying? Are you going to tell him that I sent you?
Yeah, John. I definitely was sent by Dakota and the Boss Harbor Liberty.
Okay, I like that. And then Mr. Anthony Meyer.
Phil just took my order. General Motors is being a real turkey over it, but we'll get there.
Mr. Anthony Meyer, he might be the one that delivers your order as he's delivering things across the road. He's keeping America moving. And then Miss Christy Avery from all the way in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We appreciate you folks. We also have T-Chip stores, and producer Zach Burcham is going to be dropping the link to those in the live stream chat to make it easy for you to find. They are also available on the website. And then, now, the triumphant return of Mr. Sean Rao with student loan debt forgiveness.
All I do is win, no matter what.
Here we go. Dark Brandon rises.
All right.
Oh,
do you feel good about this?
And they stay there.
All right.
You feel good about this, Sean?
Dark Brandon rises. Promises made, promises kept.
Socialist libertarian Sean Rao has joined us.
If you're new to the show and you're wondering what that was about, Sean has been coming on the show for years now and advocating for the forgiveness of student loan debt in the United States.
And we got $10,000 worth of music in there. Yeah. So that was...
We will probably
that,
be
that's
taken
appropriate
off.
To
that
what
the, was our, who is that? That was our entire budget for the year.
That right was, there we blew music. It out.
It's done. That's the last time we can afford to do that.
Is Wiz Khalifa going to come after us?
So here's the thing. The federal government has a program now. I'm sure it's going to work efficiently, on budget, on target, and it's going to work out perfectly for everybody that's supposed to get their
debt. Well, a Democrat has implemented it, and it is means tested, so I don't understand why you're concerned.
I mean, they do have 87,000 new IRS employees, so hopefully...
I was going to say, maybe we just found out why they had those new IRS
Hopefully, they can take care of some of these issues.
So, high level, what's happening here? If you have federal student loans, a balance of... $10,000 is going to be forgiven. Is it over time? Is it instantly? How's this part work?
Well,
has it not been decided yet?
I was looking at this too. It's he keeps using the language up to $10,000, which as someone who was around when he promised $2,000 stimulus checks, and he's like, oh, here's $600. I'm like, hold on a second. Let me think about this. But
does Biden
is,
usually know what he's saying anyway? Do you really put that much stock in his words?
I think he is lucid at times, if not most of the time.
Right after the testosterone
shots. Right after the gorilla, hormone shots that they put into him, where he defeated Bernie in that debate. So it's $10,000 if you have federal student loans, $20,000 if you're a Pell Grant recipient. That's supposed to take effect immediately. However, they've extended the pause on repayment
until the end of this year.
To the end of the year. So giving them some leeway to try to implement that, which I think is wise. But Dark Brandon Rises, what can you say? The mad lad has done it again.
I have a few concerns. Because I don't know that it... So, yeah, okay, cool. Right. So, yes. In theory, we've already spent the money when we printed it to give it to these people. So maybe this won't inflate things further.
What do you mean by these people?
These borrowers. These
like me?
These 18-year-olds.
I'm one of these people.
These 18-year-olds that signed up for this.
These 37-year-old lawyers doing public service, public defense work.
For profit. What's this do for the kids that are going into college now, Sean? Like, if you are 17 years old... And you're signed. This is for loans or the kids that are up at school now. I was talking to a coworker today. He's got two kids at Purdue University. One's a junior. One's a freshman. One has $10,000 in student loans already. The other one doesn't have that much yet. He's going to continue to accumulate them. So is this like amnesty in the 80s when Ronald Reagan said, okay, if you're here now, you're a citizen. But going forward, you should know better now that you have to pay these back.
I think going forward, he's done. Here's the legacy. I think going forward, that's going to be the positive. There's a lot of negatives to it. We'll get into it. But then the positive is that there will be a new what they're calling income driven repayment, which would be 5% of gross income as like that's your payment. IBR, which is income based repayment, which is. Same different nomenclature, same idea.
Yeah. They're just taking a different bucket of money, right?
Would have been 10% of your gross wages. So you pay whatever that would be.
Say you make $10,000 a month, you have to pay $1,000 a month back.
Right. So
lawyer money, you know?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. A lot of Newcastle lawyers making $10,000 a month.
There's a also.
I heard one was, but then he went to jail for something else.
Yeah. He wasn't making the money comment. From being a lawyer.
But no, it changes that from 10% to 5%, which I think is substantial, and I think it will help future generations going forward if you're going to go into, public service or things like that, where you could be on, like, the public service loan forgiveness program, which I am frantically trying to figure out how many payments I've made so I could see what could be forgiven, what can't, because I serve as a public defender and have for many years. So, but that... Going forward, that's what's going to help. The 10,000, 20,000, that's now.
Right.
that's something that he ran on, and that's something that he delivered, which if he failed to do prior to the primaries would have been an absolute colossal political failure.
And I do not, I'm not throwing stones at anybody that's eligible for this. As I've been talking to Chris Spangle all week, as our Lord and Savior Ron Paul has said, they steal our money, go take it back, right? So if the federal government's going to make something available to you and they're going to say, hey, you can have $10,000 in relief, then go get your $10,000 in relief, because you're going to have to pay for it. Regardless.
It's your money.
It's for your household, right? Not throwing stones at that. That's not the part that I quarrel with. But I do also think, okay, say we accept the premise of now we're going to quote Dave Ramsey, keep your student loan as a pet. And we're going to set up your life, structure your life. And maybe this is me just being too left-brained and analytical. But say you're going to say, okay, I'm going to try to keep this loan and make the bare minimum payment on it for 10 years so that I can clear it. Well, that means that your credit is going to have $50,000, $90,000, right, whatever amount you borrowed just sitting there on your credit report, right, for that amount of time, which is going to ding your credit. So if you try to buy a house, you may pay a higher interest rate. You may have difficulty buying a car. Say you have to carry credit card debt, you're going to have higher rates. There's always public policy effects that come from these kinds of programs that they don't necessarily think about. But it might help you get through the 2024 primary.
It gets him through this part of the midterm elections. And from there, I mean, Republicans are going to argue that he doesn't have the authority to do this, so on and so forth. We can get into that. But he's going to know that he has delivered on what he campaigned on. And really, he should have just. Here's the whole thing.
Where did he get this authority in September or August of 2021 versus.
Here's what I don't understand. Where do you come up with $10,000? Where do you come up with $20,000? Why is it not some other? That's the part that smacks of being arbitrary, where it's like, well, I'm going to forgive $10,000. Chuck Schumer says $50,000. Elizabeth Warren says $50,000 or more. Bernie Sanders says all of it. You know, so like,
I think it's because that this way they kind of ran the numbers and realized if we give $10,000 out, then that takes care of like half of the people, sure, that have student
and
loans.
It takes care of like the lower income people that can't repay it. I think that's who's going to benefit the most. I think that's the intent of the policy. You know, the policy isn't intended to benefit lawyers. Despite whatever Republicans are going to say, the policy is intended to benefit people with undergraduate loans that they just can't dig out of because of the insurance. He was talking about
the Ivy Techs of the world, right? He was saying, look, the people that went to community college, this will clear them of that. And when I was entering community college, I believe that the billboards were saying $2,500 a year, you could pretty much go through Ivy Tech. So for $5,000 plus books, you could get an associate's degree. If you had no money and you borrowed student loans from that and you're, you know, 10 years out of school, at this point, it would be going away.
And speaking about trying to help the future, he is making a huge expansion of the Pell Grant.
Yes.
Policy.
Yeah.
Indiana Congressman Jim Banks sent a tweet.
I sent you this today.
That Sean sent me, and I want you to pull it up and read it, because I cannot believe that this man didn't say this in jest. He just straight up put it out there. And that Sean's.
Oh, he got a lot Jim of Banks. Representative Jim Banks.
Which one is it? Student, the one from 8 hours ago.
Okay. Clearing his throat.
Student loan forgiveness undermines one of our military. Sorry. I can't even read it.
Oh my God.
Student loan forgiveness undermines one of our military's greatest recruitment tools at a time of dangerously low enlistments.
That's insane.
That is some Starship. Reaction. That is Starship Troopers. Is fascist bullshit,
Jim? You know that you're using your outdoor voice, right? You can't say this shit outside.
I'm doing my part.
that's said the quiet part out loud.
That's a tweet that'll never go away. It's been screen grabbed and saved in a million places.
We need the poor to be poured into the military industrial complex, to be ground out, to lose their legs, lose their arms in foreign wars. Yeah. That's the carrot on the end of the stick, and we're losing that to defend a dying empire that's way overstretched And we can't come to terms with that. So we're going to blame, you know, all these people that want an education in America. Because
you get a free education through the GI Bill if you join there. So that was the meal ticket. And now we're taking that away.
And if anything, he took one of the things that people probably wouldn't have directly tied into the military industrial complex, which is the education issue. And then he tied them together. Like, I don't think a lot of people would have thought, like, well, how does this? And they're like, oh, well, if we throw them a debt and then we just stick recruiters over there and tell them about the GI Bill and they can get their college education for free. It's like, wait a minute. Like, I would have never thought of that. I know they just released a story about military recruitment was critically low, but I never would have tied those two things together. And then he tweets and I'm like, well, that makes sense. That's a side effect of
that. But it's just like the bald, like just nasty brutishness of this country, which is just like we rely on poor, desperate kids to just serve.
Go fight the wars for rich people.
Listen, and, yeah. I know Christy Avery's not listening live because she's up there with Weird Al in Michigan today, but this is your congressman, Christy. We're holding you responsible. This is he's
personally,
yours.
Personally.
Yeah. So Christy, I believe Wall Nation wants a public apology from you, and we're gonna have to have you.
That's all right. Can't help it. People in Kentucky can't help Mitch McConnell. I understand. They're underwater right now, so they can't vote Mitch McConnell out right now.
This is an issue that public loan forgiveness, another one of those, kind of like abortion. I wasn't sure they were ever actually going to get to it. No. I think I've become so jaded with governing in the last 5 years where I just think nothing's ever actually going to happen. And I generally just don't expect government to accomplish anything. So that when an announcement like this comes, I'm surprised. But I also don't know how legal it is. Right? Is it going to go away in court in a week?
So let's talk about that. So like part of it is it's always on my radar, A, because I owe student loans, B, because you're running out of road, essentially. Like you set this deadline, okay, August 31st, that is our last
right.
version of this. And you're up against it. Like you knew there was going to be an announcement. You knew that there was going to be an extension of that because they weren't going to just
drop people in as the election's coming.
They weren't going to turn people loose, you know, before November. Now, as far as legally speaking, I think any lawsuit against this is going to have a couple issues. One issue is going to be standing. So standing means that I have the ability to come into court to sue you because of something. So usually
it's, Zach as a taxpayer doesn't have standing to say that you just signed me up for repaying whatever the hell. What's the dollar figure on this? $1.6 trillion in student loans. They didn't forgive
them all. Well, that's what's owed, but they didn't
maybe
forgive
it's 300, all. 300 billion or whatever the number. Yeah. I think I saw that number somewhere.
300 billion.
So I, as a taxpayer, don't have standing to say, just signed me up for $300 billion.
Much like as a taxpayer, I don't have standing to sue over funds going to Ukraine or other, because we have a representative democracy and things of that nature. So
for those listening to the podcast, Dakota made air quotes there.
Yeah. I don't know if it was for representative democracy. I think that might have been what he was air quoting.
That's what it was. So
standing is very important in court because you have to have some ability to sue someone else. You can't just up and sue anybody else unless you're like a small claims in state court, whatever, pay the filing fee. I'm going to sue you for whatever, but you're going to get run out of court. It's different in federal court where you have to show that you have some sort of standing. And I just don't think they're going to have the ability to show any plaintiff, any complaining party is going to have the ability to show that standing.
And a state can't do it either. I assume that they're going
to
have
they'd have to sue in federal court. And I think they're going to have the same issue. I think if the state of Indiana sued, they'd have
because Todd Rokita would sue if he can find a reason to sue. Todd Rokita is going to sue,
but he's also a lawyer that is not a total like he didn't work for Donald Trump. He's hacky, but he didn't work for Donald Trump. He didn't, surprise. You know, he's not Rudy Giuliani. Let's sort that out.
Give him a minute.
He's working on it.
He would have
the career arc is on the way.
He would if he could. The other part is that the language behind this sort of CARES Act or the Heroes Act or whatever Congress passed, it gives the president a lot of broad powers to be able to do what he sees fits. And that may not have been Congress's intent,
It never is.
It never is. But when you give the president explicitly or implicitly a lot of authority,
they can order this.
They can do that. And so I think that, I think those are the two issues that they're going to run into, the standing issue and the broad language of this legislation that's going to prevent any sort of litigation from being successful. Because people are like, well, Supreme Court, they're going to overturn it 5-4 and it's going to be whatever.
Sean, I just don't so foresee that happening. That they're actually going to look at the law and not just view it politically.
The Supreme Court.
Yeah.
What is that? Well, I should have learned my lesson
somebody file an emergency injunction and the Supreme Court say, yeah, we're going to hear it instantly. And it's politically decided 6-3, 7-2.
Because if they were to do that, that would have worked under Trump to do Trumpy things. Like, I just don't, I think there's still,
you still trust the process.
I don't trust the process, but I think there's still some level
of
decorum that, say, like a Justice Kavanaugh or someone that like that, that would not.
Neil Gorsuch would never.
Gorsuch would not. Gorsuch is my boy. Not really. No, but he's been good on some different things. I don't foresee the Supreme Court like entertaining any of this stuff. It's going to have to work its way through a federal district court. But even still, I don't see how they're going to have any standing to challenge this, which is the most important thing in federal court you're going
to
have.
And even as controversial as this is, would it not be shooting yourself in the foot to try and challenge something that does at some level help people?
No, because it plays your base. That's all they care about. Yeah. That's all they care about is shoring up their base. They don't care about expanding. There are no more centrists. There are no more people that are like, I'm kind of divided on this situation.
When Obamacare
came along. Oh, I totally am.
I would wonder, though, if they're
going to put you in a lab. We're going to study you.
When Obamacare came along, everybody was freaking out over the 26 years old being allowed on your parents' health insurance still. That has become the if you're building an ice cream sundae, that has become the chocolate chips on top that nobody will ever remove. That's the candy that you can't take away. And I think this might be the same deal where I don't know. Say you get a total Republican Congress, you get a Republican government, a president at some point. I don't know that you're going to turn this policy over of that kind of forgiveness.
Ron DeSantis 2024.
One of the things I had a great constitutional law professor, but like just breaking it down to a base level, he talked about whether it's a First Amendment issue, whatever the issue is, the longer something has been in place, the harder it is for a court to jump in and overturn it or Congress to say, we're not going to do that anymore. It's like all these Republicans that have been talking since Ronald Reagan about, we're going to reform Social Security, we're going to reform Medicare, it's too expensive, we're going to do this. To my, you know, layman's view, a layperson's view, I just don't see how that could ever happen because that's that rail, that third rail that they're never going to touch. And I think that student loan forgiveness, they'll just say, oh, that liberal Biden. Da, da, da. But really, at the end of the day, it's like, what, $30 billion, which is like a drop in the bucket compared to everything else we spend in this country.
Gave how many more billion to Ukraine?
Well, that's my point, too. I mean,
nobody keeps track of these numbers.
We don't. And it's still going out, but and also the thing that gets me is like all these people that are like, you took out a loan, you pay it. I guarantee you, most of them, if you're on Twitter, if you're a big person on Twitter, there's some sort of PPP loan, whether you're conservative, liberal, whatever. And it's just
Yeah, we've been seeing that a lot, like with Stephen Crowder, Ladder with Crowder, a conservative podcast.
PPP loans were basically, the minute they came along, they called them "quote unquote" loans.
Yes,
but people knew that was just a
right.
gift.
But again, it's the principle of the thing because that's what these people are. The people that will argue with cashier or with a judge in a small claims court saying it's the principle of the thing. I gotta whatever. It's like no, they took out loans. They didn't repay them. That's the way the system was set up for them. Because if it helps a small business, and that could be a podcast. And I'm talking about Crowder. I'm talking about Crowder,
Ben Shapiro.
Everybody know that the Balls Hog of Liberty podcast did not get a PPP loan.
Fumbled
the
bag.
Nor did we apply.
Fumbled the bag.
That's right.
Should have.
No handouts. in that way.
Well, there was a podcast about like Robert Mueller called Mueller, She Wrote, which is the most cringy bullshit I've ever heard in my life.
That's pretty funny, actually.
She got a PPP loan. And it's like, you're a podcast. Like, how
right
critical are, that we stay alive.
Louder with Crowder's.
It's the one thing that people, like, it was in more demand during the pandemic was podcasts.
Louder with Crowder took out $78,000. And it was forgiven. $78,000 was forgiven.
Sure.
The Daily Wire, I think, took out $24,000. Yeah. And it was, no.
So
the Daily Wire took out more than that.
So everybody else got a handout. And then all of a sudden we're trying to help people with student loan debt. And it's like, oh, we can't do that. It's like, no, everybody's getting a handout.
Not you poors making under $250,000 a year.
It's everybody's getting a handout. It just depends on what hand the money goes into. Right. That's what they get upset about.
That's why I'm split on this issue, because like I understand the principal argument. You took out a loan, pay back your loan. I also understand that the government does some screwy things with these loans, that if a private bank were to do those things for any other loan, then the government would,
which is at a higher interest rate than what a bank would loan.
Right.
At, because so
it's alarmingly high.
It's the Fed prime rate plus they call it a premium, and Congress sets that. So here, and so those are going to go up.
Here, so let's talk about understand both of those. And then also the other thing is, how many times have we given corporations and businesses and millionaires billions upon billions of dollars of taxpayer money that they didn't even need or didn't deserve?
So, okay, we're going to forgive government-backed college loans that we made to teenagers. When is Dakota going to get his mortgage forgiven? Because he was 22 years old when he took out a mortgage. He was dumb and the same age, and it's probably an FHA mortgage.
I was much younger than that.
Well, this mortgage, the one you have now.
Oh,
right. I'm saying, like, where do you, whatever. it's close enough for government work.
Well, it's something that the federal government can control and will control. And it's something that he ran on. And it's something that he.
Why can't the housing secretary say, okay, we're going to forgive
FHA loans.
Those are wiped off the books. $10,000 of your FHA loan. If you couldn't get the student loan relief, then we're going to give you $10,000 in FHA.
I mean, there's nothing. I don't know enough about that and their ability to forgive loans in general. My opinion is that Biden could have forgiven all of it. Or, anything that's held by the Department of Education, he is the president.
Or why can't he just say, you know what? Hell with it. Everybody gets $10,000 more. If you want to put it in your student loan, put it in your student loan. You want to put it on this, put it on that. There's a lot of different ways he could have done this.
But again, Trump sent out $1,400 checks.
Right.
So the question is how much? Like, and it's not like there's like a legal threshold or a moral threshold. It's just like, all right, this is what we thought would work. And it sort of did. And then Biden was like, oh, remember when we sent out those $2,000 checks? It was like, oh, it's like 14 plus six, but okay.
And now it's, yeah. But now we're also feeling the devastating, crippling effects of printing money carelessly.
But I don't think that this is different. I don't think that's a direct correlation between the inflation that you're seeing now.
It's which not is starting the to decrease sole again. Cause.
It's not the sole cause.
But it definitely
in March had of a 2021, hand. Peak checks being printed. I bought a set of tires for my Tahoe.
I love it.
At $244 a piece.
Who gave you that check, Biden or Trump?
I believe I paid for that out of my account.
Okay.
I didn't send a voucher into Donald. But probably, I probably bought it with my Biden bucks. So $244 a piece for some tires. That's 16 deal. Months later, not for a set, a piece. 16 months later, I priced them today, $318 a piece. So they've gone up by $70 per set. So $240 more to buy a set of tires 15 months later because we've inflated the currency so badly. We've printed money, pumped it in, and inflation's gone absolutely nutty.
But I don't think it's because
goods is suffering, man.
It's not because of 14 plus six. That's not why. There's bigger forces in effect.
I mean, 40% of all U.S. dollars were printed during the pandemic, 2019 to 2021.
Right.
So
we're also coming out of a 100-year pandemic where we had to do
right.
historically unprecedented
we're
things.
Not, and I'm
we're also supporting all these other countries that we probably shouldn't.
I'm not saying that it's that printing too much money, giving it all the stimmies out, is the sole cause of the inflation that we're feeling right now. I'm just saying you can't ignore it. It played a big part in it. The other part, we had some supply chain issues.
Mm.
All those things.
I think we continue to
rippled across the board.
I mean, good luck getting computer chips for your cars. Good luck with all these other things. It is frustrating because our entire culture is based on, I want to consume. And right. I want to consume at a price that I feel like is appropriate for what I want to consume. Thankfully.
And I don't want to wait either.
And I don't want to wait.
We're used to Amazon Prime. I order it today.
Oh, absolutely. But I think that's something that needs to culturally shift with people in order to like make us a more healthy culture. I think there's something really sick about like I can order something and it appears at my house in 2 days and it doesn't matter whatever happened in between now and then or whatever the cost was or whatever the human right. cost was, you know, we don't take stock of any of that because all of this stuff these are human systems at the end of the day. And if it takes a little bit longer for your thing to get there to your house.
Hey, listen, there are podcasts.
How much
that have to get on the air?
Podcasts get delivered right now.
I know, but we need
boom.
Cables. We need hardware.
You're good.
We're, right now.
I'm here.
Sean, how much more right would now? You pay for how much more would you pay for a cell phone if you knew that it wasn't made using slave labor?
Have you read?
I mean, what's the non-slave labor option?
Have you read the book I Penciled
Dakota? That's what I'm saying. If you, if someone came out with a phone and they were like, "Listen, we're going to use responsibly sourced material.
We're going to start getting our lithium from Brown County, Indiana. We're just going to clear off those mountaintops.
And it's got to be adult fingers instead of children's fingers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Our employees at our factories are going to be union represented. Factory workers that make a livable wage and can support their families off of it. How much more do you think you would be willing to spend for that cell phone versus the one that's the humane one?
What does that cost?
Probably $700.
That's what I'm asking you. How much do you think you would pay for a phone that said that? Because I mean, we're paying $1,200 now.
It's made for an unobtainium.
It'd be like double.
We
right?
cannot do it.
Double or triple, right?
We can't make it. Where are you going to get? We cannot, with the components that go into an iPhone, we cannot even get domestically. Mm. Straight up, they do not exist. Am I crazy?
I didn't say sourced domestically. I said sourced ethically.
Can't control it. Like, if it's south of the Tropic of Cancer, I don't think we can do it
ethically. That's
the other part. You can't escape global capitalism where it's like, it doesn't matter whatever thought. You know, experiment we go through, it's going to be like somebody is going to have to suffer to make me this iPhone.
Right. Because like right now you have Tim Cook, who is the CEO of Apple, and he's campaigning on all these humanitarian issues. Meanwhile, he has 8-year-olds that are mining parts for the cell phones that he sells. And he also has his cell phones being made at Foxconn in China that has nets hanging from the outside of the buildings because they have too many people that commit suicide by jumping off of the roof. So it's not great. But meanwhile,
we're going to mention that this episode is brought to you by Iconic Insurance. 15% of Americans are left to find their own health insurance. You might feel overwhelmed, lost, or frustrated. And if that's how you feel, get control of your health with Matt Allen's help. Go to iconic-insurance.com/libertarians to get started.
But what I'm saying is that we have the ultimate irony is that we talk about all these things, but we tweet about them on the phones that are made using these practices. So if someone came out with a phone and it was going to be $4,000, but you had a clean conscience, you knew that people didn't hate their lives.
But again, there's
kill themselves.
Once this is illusory. There's no
in student loan debt forgiveness. He can afford that.
Yeah. I got my $10,000. I'm going to spend $6,000 on the real teeth from Austin Powers, and I'm going to wear those. And then $4,000, I'm going to buy the ethically sourced cell phone, and I'm going to.
But I'm trying to
ethically source cell phone, and that's how I'm going to spend my $10,000.
The hell with Sarah Rao and her.
She doesn't
her
need
slave
to worry
labor
about
iPhone.
Yeah, she's He's a school teacher.
I'm
now,
just.
So.
I'm trying to bring this back to your idea of having
working class.
A cultural shift in consumerism.
Sure.
And its ideas, because right now the consumerism that we have in the United States seems to destroy a lot of other different cultures mm-hmm. around the world.
Absolutely.
Steve Horowitz would tell you that they're having opportunities created by having jobs produced by Americans. If we didn't do that, well, yes, they're below our standard of living. They're better off than they were had we not invented the technology.
Right. Sometimes. If it didn't exist. And then sometimes we make it a lot worse.
Sometimes it's a little sloppy.
The opportunities come, but the opportunities, it's like the people who farm rubber trees in Africa. Yeah, they have a great opportunity to farm rubber now, but the cultural sites, like their cultural burial sites as indigenous people, have been wiped out by gigantic corporations coming in and planting the rubber trees that now they have to farm. So is it worth it? Probably not. To have cheaper tires?
I doubt it. I will say that Firestone is working on a domestically produced Guali tire.
Yeah, uses less water.
That's made from some bushes in Arizona so that they can
there
do
you
it.
Go.
See,
in the
United States. I think that it is possible.
There's innovation too. And it's like, why would you want to have like this global network of supply chain where the one thing you should one of the things you should learn from this whole pandemic, the global supply chain is very fragile and will break down at almost anything.
Any supply chain is fragile. So there were storms in the Southwest that washed out I-10 last night. So there's a pipe culvert that gave way. Second time in the last 7 years that I-10 has been completely washed out between Vegas and Los Angeles. So all of that freight that we're finally getting unloaded.
Which is all desert.
They're not supposed to have this much water.
They're not supposed
to
have that.
But they, you know, the
climate change.
The pipe culvert wasn't quite big enough, and it eroded through, and it washed the entire road away. Well, that means they have to bring in more pipes, drop it in place, fill dirt back in, and pave back over it. So that's going to take, on a good day, a week or two, right? We're not building a cast-in-place bridge, but we're still doing a lot of work. That completely disrupts the supply chain as we're unloading all of this freight that's coming across by truck from the Port of Long Beach, from the San Pedro port, and coming into the center of America. So, yeah, we're incredibly connected together internationally or just domestically, and the supply chain gets jacked in a hurry. Here's as we're...
Yeah, but that's looking, a lot easier than waiting on it from China.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's fragile.
A flooded highway is easier to deal with than an ocean and then a port that's close to you.
You imagine a flooded ocean?
On the other side of the
just
ocean.
The global economy has turned into a thing where instead of having warehouses full of stuff, although ironically though, I'll say that they're building warehouses like crazy, but end user warehouses. So instead of somewhere having a big warehouse of something, so if it breaks down, we got three or four days of these, or maybe a week or two of these in a warehouse that we can burn through until they get it back up. They're getting stuff within. Like, I know that we have a local plant that makes seats for Honda. They deliver the seats within a few hours of them being needed. So, yeah, the minute there's a disruption, it ripples down the chain. Unlike 30, 40 years ago, it wouldn't have because there would have been a stockpile somewhere.
We've gone to full just-in-time inventory. Yep. So, this helps the kids that just graduated. This helps the 40-somethings like Sean or the 30-somethings.
30-somethings.
Like
don't age me.
The 35-year-old is getting some relief. What is going to make college more affordable in 2032? 10 years from now, how is this going to help? Because so much of the conversation around university is that money's been so damn easy to get. There's not been any downward pressure on going to college.
No.
How is this going to – this is just making it easier, saying, okay, we're going to forgive it again. So you don't even have to price shop it anymore, guys.
I think
10 years from now, we're going to write it off no matter what.
I think a few things. No one was price shopping to begin with. You don't kick the tires and say, I'm going to,
there's nobody.
There's a qualitative difference between the IVs and these other things that most people can't get into anyway.
There's people that are saying, hey, I'm choosing between going to Indiana Wesleyan or Ball State. I'm going to choose between going to Purdue University and Taylor University. Sure. IU versus Manchester, whatever.
Sure.
These just Indiana colleges, Rose Holman versus Purdue, like the sure. massive, I'm going to pay $30,000 versus $117,000.
Right.
There are families having that conversation.
So I think there are a couple things that are going to be in play. I think that demand is going to go down. I think that between now and the next 10 years, I think that the demand for college education will go down.
Been on a trend
because it's
down.
Already been on the downslope. And I think it's this is not going to encourage people to be like, I want to go to college for poetry. It's just not going to happen. I think that's a fever dream. And the other part is that of the people that do go, I don't mean to bash the poetry majors out there because I was a philosophy major and that's just about as useful.
Listen, it has helped you on this podcast.
It's helped me in some ways somewhere. The other part is the income driven repayment plans where it's going to be the 5% instead of 10%. I think that is going to be a game changer for people because that is such a huge difference.
Do you think that the expansion of the Pell Grant policy that is will going also to help? This expansion, what I read, is essentially going to make for people who are in lower income households, it's going to make it very close to community college being free. Mm-hmm. You're basically going to have to pay for your textbooks.
Yeah. If you're of a certain income. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I think like right now it's set at like $60,000 or something like
sure.
that.
Sure. And I think that's a great idea. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be hard for anybody else to reverse to be like, okay, I'm going to give you less. Even if it's a DeSantis who's like just a fake Trump guy anyway. Have you guys seen him lately?
I don't.
Where he's standing up.
I try not to, but I literally consume my news. I listen. I say, I won't do it. I'll say, hey, Google, what's the news? And then everybody's news just got interrupted here. But I say, hey, Google, what's the news? And they tell me what's going on. And all I know is that Ron DeSantis is running against Charlie Crist now. Charlie Crist is now the Democrat that he always was. He's admitted it. And Ronnie boy has got some competition.
But you know what he's got his eyes on. You know he's got his eyes on the White House, and he wants to be the next Trump. Where he even with the you know he's hand gestures, his mannerisms even are starting to be Trump like. It's almost like in Animal Farm where the pigs pretend to be the people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like it's not. That's a really I've good seen way to this put guy it. Before the pandemic, and then now he just wants to be that Trump it. Thing where he can embrace it. He can be like Disney's a bunch of groomers. And all these other things, and it's just whatever the thing of the day is, he can throw at it because he's a governor, and he doesn't actually have to do anything, and he can back off if he wants to, and nobody cares. He has that executive like swag from a bigger state, and he wants to be Trump. And he stood. There's this photo I got to send you guys. He's like standing with his arms forward, kind of like the way the Trump does when he's standing, and also like that. It's like a weird, it's like a weird, like I'm not fat, but I'm kind of just
a weird way to hold
it's
your body.
Such a
to where
weird,
if you look at
like
the front.
Just contortion of a person. And he is going to be running for Republican presidential nomination easily. And if he goes against Trump, it's going to be,
I don't think
must Trump see runs. TV. If I DeSantis, think Trump runs.
If DeSantis runs, I don't think
Trump runs no matter what his ego, unless he physically can't do it.
To me, I think DeSantis is much more likable than Trump is. I think.
Well, for now.
Yeah, for now. As it stands right now.
70% of America still doesn't know who the hell he is.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Dude, you live.
I think you're
you
so
live.
Wrong.
You live in a political
because
bubble.
I don't pay attention to politics.
You literally have. You have a politics show. You're on the. You do. You know what you still,
I have a local politics.
Even
show.
Though you try to pretend to not know what the hell's going on, you have 90% more knowledge than most of the people than 90% of the populace.
There's no way that 75% of people in the U.S. don't know who Ron DeSantis is. That's crazy.
We're going to take this. You and I are just going to go start knocking on doors in Newcastle right now and asking people one question. Do you know who Ron DeSantis is?
Who Ron DeSantis is? I think if anybody's watched the news, they know who he is, or even like scroll. Cause I've seen,
but who watches the news
or scrolls nobody on social media? Cause I know that he passed like an anti-woke law. And then
didn't
I think part of
just say you asked Google,
which means nothing.
The news was, and the first thing they said was something
just
about
devoid of meaning.
It was about Trump. But like one of the laws has already been at least temporarily paused by a court. And I don't pay, I don't look for that information.
And it doesn't matter. He could just, it's just something else. It's the whole like ABD Republican Party. It's just like, it doesn't matter. It's going to be something else in 2 weeks anyway. That's going to be like, oh, yeah, so-and-so is trying to bless your kids. It's like, you know, they try to make public school teachers into like child molesters. I never understood that. I never understood like just villainizing all these all different
the,
people.
It's because of all the absolutely insane, mentally unhinged public school teachers you see on TikTok. That is why. Have you ever scrolled through the lips of TikTok Twitter?
I don't
because
do
those
TikTok,
people are nuts.
Because I'm
36, I don't do TikTok either.
So,
but I see the libs of TikTok Twitter account that there will be there are some absolutely like need to be institutionalized teachers that post videos on TikTok and go viral. But those are the minority of the minority
I mean,
of public school teachers,
yeah, like what's
obviously.
The, how many public school teachers are there out there and how many
they
people
are
we talking about?
They are a handful of the millions of teachers in the country.
And
I'm not saying that public
police
school
officers
teachers
like
are
to kill black
like
people. I mean, it's just the truth of it.
And
right? Oh, I had my moment on the Boss Hog, didn't I?
He didn't even pay attention. The Boss Hog wasn't even listening.
Top 10.
He's in here. He's over here trying to look up the stats about Ron DeSantis.
I'm still over here trying to get a number for Ron DeSantis' name ID, but instead I found the top 10. This is the Washington Post. Their handicapping of the 10 most likely Republican candidates. You guys ready?
I have heard this before, but yes.
All right. Zach, are you ready? I know you'll be voting in the Republican primary, so this matters to you.
Yeah.
Number 10, Donald Trump Jr.
Nope.
What?
Number 9, Mike Pompeo.
Why?
Number 8,
ooh.
Rick Scott, the
Skeletor.
Senator of Florida.
Skeletor.
Number 7.
He looks like he's running out of skin.
Number 7. That's Florida for you, man. Just well, Florida does that to him.
No, usually it makes your skin all wrinkly and fat when you get old.
Not when you're wealthy. Number 7, Nikki Haley.
Absolutely not.
I could see that.
Absolutely not.
She wouldn't win, but I could see
number
her
number 6, old Teddy Cruz.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hang out with
no
him.
Balls.
Number 5,
Glenn. You just get that whole.
Go back to Ted Cruz. So, Trump absolutely humiliated him in the last
called
election.
Called his wife a cow.
Yeah, called his wife ugly. Said that his dad was on the.
If it wasn't for the basketball ring in Knightstown, Indiana, he might be president today.
Oh, and then his whole flying out of the country or flying going to Cabo or whatever when the winter storm was
sucks.
Crippling his state.
Yeah, Ted Cruz is awful.
Never gonna
the narrative the Washington
Ted Cruz
Post
is a coward.
The He's senator from Texas who has been out front criticizing the FBI's search of Trump, including an early push for the search warrant.
Wow.
He has floated the impeachment of Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and he said the FBI agents have been turned into stormtroopers. Glenn Youngkin, number 5.
Blumkin.
Glenn Youngkin. He nope. just won governor of Virginia?
Yep.
Nope.
That's a Beltway D.C.
Seems to be doing a decent job as
dream
governor.
Number 4, Tim Scott.
No.
I don't think he has national name ID at all.
No.
I don't know who that is, yeah.
He's a senator from South Carolina. Number 3, former Indiana Congressman Mike Pence.
Not a chance in hell. He will never be the nominee for the Republican Party for president.
Number 2, Donald Trump.
Yes.
Number 1, Ron DeSantis.
Switch it. Yeah.
They did have it switched at one point.
Yeah, I would have it switched.
It's a weekly power ranking, so they've got old Ronnie number one.
They got something to talk about, but man.
Trump won't do it.
It's a two-man race.
Right.
It's
Glenn Youngkin.
Nobody.
And Ron DeSantis.
Glenn Blumkin is not going to be.
I mean, Trump
is not going to be president. Right. Mike Pence. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to hang him on January 6th. They wanted his legs dangling from a rope.
Listen, those were terrorists. Those weren't Republican primary voters.
Those were the Trump base.
Those
the fanatical Trump base.
I mean,
that
let's
actually
be honest.
Showed up
those
when he was
weren't
like,
Republican
show up.
Primary voters.
They were all Antifa. I'm sorry.
No, those are the people
most
who
are Antifas. Voters now at all because they're felons.
Those are the people who
I'll have you know. In Indiana, we let our felons vote.
Yep.
Mike Pence offered some interesting comments this week. So the copy says, opening the door to testifying in the January 6th committee, saying the American people have a right to know what happened. Yeah, they nearly killed me. He has walked a fine line of criticizing Trump for that day, despite the insurrectionists endangering his life. We shouldn't expect him to thoroughly denounce the man who picked him as vice president, but he certainly got a vested interest in the party moving on in a different direction.
He is Judas Iscariot to these Trump people.
Yeah. The hard part
is... sold him out for 50 pieces of silver or 30 pieces of silver. I can't remember.
The hard part is facilitating that without completely annihilating the Trump backers he'd need in 2024.
He's already done it. He's already done it by not...
I mean, Secret Service had to shoot one of them to keep him away from him.
He is so quiet right now.
Now, Mike Pence had balls.
He's not saying stuff.
He should go away forever.
Ted Cruz, no balls. Mike Pence, balls. He sat at
a shocking level of balls. You didn't think he had the balls.
You had no idea until his Secret Service agent, whenever he came out and was like, we had to forcibly remove Mike Pence from the office.
Because he was the only one that I've recall hearing was ever an actual danger.
Right. They said Mike Pence sat there and he said, let them come.
Yeah, right.
He was like,
that's Mike Pence. Yeah. That's the Mike I know. All right.
The Secret Service agent said that. It wasn't Mike touting
himself. Yeah, but they also said that Trump tried to grab the wheel, get the monster limo to go to the, whatever.
Final two items. He might have had, maybe he wanted to talk to the common people and had the window down.
He wanted to be passed around like in a zombie movie with his legs going one way, his arms going one way, just all the gore.
He wanted to do
just
some
George Romero.
He's like, I want to be remembered.
If you took the poor financial advice that may have been given by one of the hosts on this show, and you paid your student loans when they were at 0% interest.
I thought you were going to say, and you invested in Bed Bath Beyond.
you invested in Jordan Peterson coin.
If you were one of the people that did pay down your student loans, maybe to nothing. Apparently, as a part of the CARES Act, you have until the end of this month, I'm Ron Burgundy, to request your money back from your loan servicer. So in theory, if you had maybe
sooner than later, let's do it. Get your money back.
$2,000, $5,000, $9,000 back. You can ask for your money back. And then I guess you would go down the process of saying, hey, go ahead and forgive that 10 grand. Don't know how it's going to work, but we will advocate. They've stolen this money from you already. So if you are in that boat and you were responsible and you made your payments, you might want to stop listening to us or finish listening to this show and then figure out who the hell you're paying your money to and call them and figure that out, because there's real money in it. And maybe you do some soul searching and you want to say no.
You stack paper, you say, let's go, Brandon. And then you just coast into $10,000 in your pocket.
You can listen. If you want to give it right back to the feds, you can get your money.
You'll give it back to them at some point anyway. It doesn't matter. It's your money.
You can get your money back and you can go buy treasury bonds. And they'll inflate it.
treasury bonds.
Get some T-bills. The IRS has said, this is Tad Western of Tad Talk back in the day on the Wall Network. He was saying, yeah, here's what happened. This is the 3D chess that Tad saw. He said they were never getting paid for this $10,000. So the federal government can say, here's $10,000 in relief. Here's your 1099. Now you owe me 15% taxes or 20% taxes on that $10,000 you just got. So now you have a $2,000 tax.
I don't think that's taxable income. I think that's something that they worked out.
That is the hook that we found out today, is that it is not going to be taxable. But normally, if you have loan forgiveness, you get 1099.
No, I think that was something they pushed through to make sure that it's not taxable income, because that would just totally.
These 86,000 new IRS agents.
They are Democrats, but they're not that.
If you sign up at patreon.com/bosshogofliberty and you get the show notes ahead of time, then you have a link in there to whitehouse.gov, to the release on everything in this plan. And it specifically has a Q&A section about, am I going to be taxed on this? It is no.
It is no.
Whew. You would question it. That's what this guy says. You never trust the next guy. What if he dies in office tomorrow?
He's going to live probably longer than all of us.
Kamala.
He's just
oldest president ever.
What if he gets reelected? Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
I could imagine. I was imagining Trump being reelected too. I mean,
I don't love Joe's policies, but I honestly find him to be a very likable guy.
The things what? I can't imagine.
Yeah, he's fine. I like
he's fine. Fine. You like him like you would like any old man that doesn't know where he's at.
Right.
The things I can't imagine are like Kamala Harris versus like DeSantis or Kamala Harris. Ideally, Kamala Harris versus Tom Cotton, because I think that would be like
why do you hate
the worst?
Why do you hate us all?
That would be the worst presidential election I think in the history of the world.
That would be worse than Trump and Hillary. No, it would be worse.
Trump and Hillary is like high comedy.
Yeah, Trump and Hillary.
That was like
very entertaining.
Magnifique.
It was good.
Just like to watch the world burn. That's well, and that's
I still
once a week you can join Ball Soccer.
Kamala Harris, the world to burn, couldn't win her own primary in her own state. Yeah. Against Bernie,
I still as a Democrat, chuckled to myself thinking about the
we did it, Joe. We did it, Joe.
No, just no. Way farther back, you'd be in jail.
Yeah, that well, comment, yeah.
God, it's so funny.
I go to the Kamala. We did it, Joe. Like she had any impact at all on that election. That was just
after she accused Joe Biden of sexual assault.
Yeah.
And then she gets asked about it by the press, and she's like, it's a campaign. You know, it's okay to lie.
Just like on your taxes. Zachary Burcham, we're in our final thoughts portion of the program. You got anything for me?
No, I'm brain dead at this point. It's been a long week.
He's had to listen to this for an hour.
No, I showed up at work on Monday. I had a friend that told me about something, that random thing at work, and he didn't tell me about overtime. So I've been like, I don't have a hard job physically, but I do stare at a screen all day for 10 hours a day.
You contacted me while I was on I-70. I don't know how you have the super skill. I'm on I-70 going the opposite direction
in a
black GMC Terrain that is, I mean, it's not entirely common looking, but holy hell, you picked me out of a moving crowd.
I have the ability to do that.
You've done that to me too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm just able to. I recognize cars.
5:40 in the evening, and Zach texts me, "You heading Indy?"
Yeah.
God dang.
So I saw some. Well, I mean, I saw somebody.
Did you see our faces, or you just saw the car?
No, I saw the car, and then I looked at. I had time to recognize dark GMC Terrain. Look, I'm like, oh, and it was not a normal time for me coming home from work if we don't have overtime. And I look, I'm like, yeah, I saw you driving. That's why I would have messaged you, because I recognized the driver.
You're a car guy, so
I mean, like, it's easy for you to recognize. I immediately cars. Like. Somebody waved at me when I was running last week, and it was a car I did not immediately recognize, but I just went through. Okay. I was like, okay, they waved at me somewhat friendly, so they probably know me. Cause sometimes I get really weird, awkward waves from people that don't know me, but they're just look, he's out running. But I went through the Rolodex of, okay, who, like what the driver looked like. I'm like, okay, I figure out who it was. And from now on, if I see that vehicle, I will know exactly who is driving, because I associate people with their cars. So yeah, that's how my brain
works. What if
works.
They have multiple cars, like me or McCown or somebody?
Same McCown's, deal.
High rollers.
McCown's.
High rollers who pay their student loans back.
McCowns are pretty distinct.
He's got that Chrysler Maserati.
Yeah, the Maserati LeBaron. And then like, yeah, there's, I mean, there was a Jeep I've been trying to figure out in town who it is. I found out that it's Scott Frost. And I know exactly who's driving that every time I see it now, because it's very distinct. So that's just how my brain works.
You have, this is your super skill.
I have an alarming ability to identify cars and then know exactly where they are. Yeah. It's a really weird skill to have, and it's absolutely useless, but it works for me.
Not as a private investigator.
Oh no. Like, I rolled into work and I can tell you who's in the office based on the cars in the parking lot.
I can too, but there's only 7 people that work in my office.
I work with about 200 thing. People. But I can identify I can tell you most of the notable cars who drives them. So,
you know, if the boss is there.
Yeah, there's one boss I used to have that I would roll in like good day, bad day based on the car. Other than, I'll give it Fourth Fridays tomorrow. And so they're having, I can't remember who the performer is, but, I know Aaron Dickin was excited about it. And they're got some food trucks and stuff. Oh, and I'll give a shout out to Aaron Dickin. Last I heard, I don't know if he's still getting money for his billboard. He had like $1,700 almost for that billboard.
And the bow tie is now black.
And he changed the bow tie, but I believe it was going to be a rainbow background. I think that from what he said, that might be going up like
imminently.
Imminently. Today, I thought was when he said it might be going up. So that might be going up very soon. So, but and I gave congrats, and he said, "Well, it wasn't me. It was the community." I'm like, "Dude, it was you're the one that popped up and said I'm getting a billboard. If you want in, chip in. Congratulations to the community for getting behind that." But every time he'd post an update, I was like, "That's amazing."
That how many?
And I will say, I've seen his donor list to an extent. And there's a lot of supporters of this show that are on that donor list too. So thank you very much to this audience. Yes,
people from out of town that are from here, but are currently living out of town, and very few people complaining about it, and almost everybody else being super supportive, which is just great to see from a town that's been a good response to a good thing.
So. I believe you said your Venmo history was full of gifts.
I sent him a video. I sent him a video of just I pulled up Venmo, and I find Venmo strange. And I also find Venmo strange because it's owned by PayPal. So I find it strange that there's two different apps that are owned by one company.
Google Maps and Waze are the same
company. Yeah. And so on Venmo, you can see your friend's trend. You can't see what the amounts are necessarily, but you can see how many
eggplants.
And it was literally just 30 seconds of scrolling. And it was like Aaron Dickin. I think you gave one of your relatives, like your aunt or some of your mom, some money in there, but then it was right back to Dickin. It was like, I mean, like 30 or 40 deep. So I mean, like, and it went for like over 3 days. It was amazing. It was a cool thing to see this town do, and a good thing to like, you want that to make the news. Cause that's the kind of thing you want your town to make the news for, not some of the stuff that towns make the news for.
We really should call a news organization.
Dakota, you're in charge of calling Rafael Sanchez tomorrow. Yeah. Mr. Sean Rao.
Wow.
This is your victory lap, man.
I'm $10,000 richer.
Your wife doesn't have any student loans?
Not really.
Does a couple get it?
He said, so the couple threshold is up to
a quarter million.
$250,000, which
I assume you're not making that in a year. You might be.
Newsflash.
Lawyer money.
Newsflash. We do not make that as a couple. No, it's been good. It's been a good summer. Things are real steady at the office. I'm transitioning.
There's plenty of crimes.
Well, I'm transitioning away from major felonies to do juvenile and child in need services cases. So if you have something like that, I am appointed on your case. And I really, it's really been a good transition for me. And everything at the private office is going great. Yeah, everything's good. Watching a little bit of TV, seen HBO, The Rehearsal with Nathan Fielder. Nathan, for you.
I just finished the podcasting show, Only Murderers in the Building, this week.
We watched that one. So that was a good one.
I have room in the lineup.
So
give me the elevator pitch, my guy.
It's kind of hard if you haven't seen Nathan For You to really explain this guy.
I think I know who Nathan For You is.
Yeah, he's a very awkward, very funny person, but like in a slice of life sort of way.
The Canadian comic.
Nathan For You is great.
Nathan Fielder. Exactly, Nathan For You is a fantastic show. Probably one of my top 10 favorite comedy shows of
all time. That was on like my junior, senior year.
Yes. And so basically he's doing a rehearsal for people who want to rehearse like a life event. So like something important happening, and he will help them rehearse that.
Yeah.
And it gets so deep and crazy and weird. I can't even explain it, but that's what I watched this summer on HBO. Fantastic.
He appears to have been Bob Woodward in two episodes of Drunk History.
Would surprise me. But no, everything's going great. Kids are doing well. Sarah's moving she's a first grade teacher at Riley now. So she's really enjoyed that. I know she'll enjoy, you know, being mentioned after Nathan Fielder.
surprised you guys don't make $250,000 a year.
Yeah, we're rolling it in with I got my sugar mama in place there. Huh. No, it's a great,
with a job like that, she can get her student loans.
It's a great transition for her because she was doing something like kind of an online job that, you know, I'll just speak for her that she just didn't get that much enjoyment out of, and being able to work with kids and being able to serve the community has been awesome. Parents have been great. Everybody's been really great to her. So Shout out to Riley.
Your fans are watching and they want to know what's in your can. What are you drinking?
It's the Hopopotamus.
Hopopotamus.
From Metazoa.
I also went, drank from the Gospel of Metazoa.
You went Metazoa and 5% goes to animals.
There we go. We like puppies around here. So I did have the puppy slumber party.
There you go.
Potty.
Sarah, it's been great. Thanks for having me.
Sarah can tell Chip that I drank Topo Chico hard seltzer.
I'm sure I'll tell Chip you drank it.
Okay.
Dakota.
He's always making fun of me for drinking Miller Lite.
He makes fun of anybody for anything. But that's all right.
He's never tried it.
Chip has always been proud of the beers I drink. We've connected over that. He has never given me hell. He'll see me walking by. When he met me the very first time.
It just means he doesn't know you, though.
First time he met me, he saw that I was drinking a beer, probably an Edmund Fitzgerald Porter that I'd brought back from Ohio. And he's like, oh, impossible. It was instantly. Your friendship, our friendship, he mails beer. Theoretically, he mails beers to each other. There might be
confirm or deny.
There might be a black market.
Listen, talk about things.
There might be a Silk Road. Silk Road.
You're making allegations that cannot be corroborated.
Might be. Dakota.
We got a lawyer in the room. He can't be doing stuff like this.
Dakota. What do you know? Are you going to miss our friend Chris Galt?
I would say yes, but I never see him anyway, so.
Your relationship isn't going to change with him?
Nope. I've seen him maybe a half dozen times in person.
Founding member of the Wall Network, leaving Indiana. He's moving to Michigan in a place that he's going to need probably chains for his bald tires.
Where Kid Rock is from. So that's pretty cool.
He's a highly paid technology executive who's leaving. He had multiple competing offers.
Let's just say this. Talents. His student loans are not being forgiven.
He had multiple offers on the table from many states, and he chose the only one where cannabis is legal.
Yeah, of course.
And he declared to me today that he's going to be a farmer now because apparently you're allowed to grow 11 plants. 12 would be too many. 12 would be just a bridge too far.
Can't do a dozen.
But you can farm 11 plants in the state of Michigan.
And 10 is just not enough.
As a cultivator.
He's going to lose track and get thrown in a slammer.
Yeah.
There were only 11 yesterday. They doubled.
Who could call it the 13th or something like that?
That was a seedling. You can't count that.
That's why you call me.
And you work in Michigan?
Liberty Defender Sean.
I mean, for the right price, I could probably get a...
You might want to get some temporary reciprocity.
Reciprocity situation.
You might need to get some reciprocity ahead of time here, just in case. I mean, the man has got purple cell phone money. The fee won't be a problem.
He's got the non-slave cell phone money?
Yes.
I'm interested.
I will say that if he's going to make this commute back and forth between Indianapolis and Detroit, he probably should look into some high quality tires because I know he's struggled on that trip in the past.
Those Michigan roads are just beating the hell out of those tires.
He's going to need to graduate to two set tire life, which is he's going to have a winter set and a summer set because Michigan probably would be a good idea to have a winter set
and a third set, the Michigan set.
Well, he needs to have a backup set of like. Just rolling on. I mean, you know what though? I bet donuts do pretty good in the snow if the tread's fresh because they're narrow.
We're gonna
There are people that are book smart, and there are people that are street smart, and then there are people that are tire smart. And one of those is not our boy Chris Galt. But we congratulate him. We wish him well, and I hope it. I hope Michigan is all he could ever dream of.
Top Gear Grand Tour Michigan. Donuts only.
Anything else from you, Dakota?
Do it.
I just found, as we were sitting here, there's a phone that's called the Fairphone. And the Fairphone 4 apparently is out right now. It's an Android operating system.
Oh, I'm going to guess. I'm just going to guess what they do is that they buy a shitty Android phone. And then they add $2,000 to the cost, plus they mark it up, and they make a donation to some environmental cause, carbon offset.
They do that for their carbon, but the products are all certified fair trade from UN-respected organizations.
I know that with the United Nations, all it takes is a little bribe money and you can be respected.
I'm sure you've done a lot of work with the UN before, Jer.
Bash Kreider LLC. Sell on the Fairphone.
But what I was actually going to say about the Fairphone that makes it very impressive to me is that you can repair it yourself. So you can totally open up this phone. All the components are labeled on the inside.
Oh, you're going to sell me a phone that's going to break?
You can buy the replacement parts yourself and just do it, which is
like a 57 Chevy.
Very cool. Awesome. You cannot do that with your phones now. They just expect them to break, and then you have to buy a new one. You want to know how much the price is?
Yes.
Well, they're only sold in Europe.
Well, and so I have to import. I have to pay a duty to import it.
And move to Europe.
Whatever 750 pounds is.
So funny thing, the pound and the dollar, I think this week were neck and neck.
Yeah.
I believe it was 99 to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, the specs didn't look great.
The euro, I guess, not the pound, the euro.
Here's that wrong thing about with the cost of a cell phone in the case of an iPhone. Apple can charge whatever they want.
Right.
Yeah.
The Apple they're not setting the price because, not a great phone. They could sell that phone because it literally is a phone that when every time they drop a new one, there's a line of people outside the store to buy the phone, and they don't care what it costs.
The specs on this phone aren't great. 256 gigabytes of memory and then 8 gigs of RAM. So not great. Not horrible either.
I couldn't tell you what the health specs are of any of the devices I carry at this point.
Probably better than Jared's Motorola.
I don't have a Motorola with me. That's my hotspot phone. I have the Pixel that Galt got me. I've got an iPhone over here, and I've got my Galt tablet
that's on the purple. Gen Pixel is that?
4.
Oh, that's a good phone. The 6 is awful. Don't upgrade.
So anyway, we'll wrap up here. Next week's show is
I had one more thing. Go on to Robinhood, Fidelity, whatever. Buy Bed Bath Beyond right now.
Pump and dump.
Get it up. Jim Cramer says that it's a bad move. So
if you say pump and dump out loud, the feds can't pursue you for trying to, actually do a pump and dump scheme.
No, all you have to do
is a joke. It's a bit.
I believe that you have to say that we're not giving any financial advice.
Yeah, we're not financial advisors. This is not legal advice.
Full disclaimer to keep Dakota from having to hire Sean. And for him having a legitimate excuse.
He's in federal shit,
Thursdays.
If that's the case. I don't deal with that.
Sean has said today. And Dakota throws out some investment. He's like, wait a minute.
This is the moment Sean's like, oh, God,
You want this disclaimer running right underneath the screen right here.
I've got diamond hands, son. I have a bunch of Bed Bath Beyond. And they're going to make an announcement at the end of this month.
Next GameStop.
They're going to make an announcement at the end of September.
Oh, my God. Insider trading. I've been buying Dogecoin like a son of a bitch lately. So I'm ready for that one to come
right
back.
Right now?
Yeah, sure. It's been going down.
I've been buying Peterson coin and just crying and doing benzos.
And getting enraged.
Next week's show, we have our syndicator, Chris Spangle. We have our sweet mate, Brian Nichols, is scheduled to be here.
And not me.
Tokad Savad is going to be, I think you're scheduling a Rona.
You cannot put out my Xbox gamer tag like that for everyone to know.
If you want to add him, join the Patreon and he'll add you back. But Dakota will have the COVID next week, so he's no longer going to be with us. He's going to miss the week. I will be at the Sulphur Springs Mud Bog. It starts tomorrow, Friday night. It happens all the community days. Are Friday and Saturday. They've got a chicken and noodles lunch at 11:30 over there in Sulphur. You can see every politician in town at 11 o'clock doing a parade. But the cherry on top is the Daryl Lyons Memorial Mud Bog ATVs at 3:30. The trucks begin at 5 o'clock. It's only $5 to get in. I'm going to be working as the public address guy when Greg Phipps has to go to the bathroom. Otherwise, I'll be his scribe. I'm hoping we're out of there by 1:32 in the morning. It is the best entertainment you're ever going to get for $5. Bring the family.
Fun story. I was once in the Sulphur Springs Community Days parade in my tricycle. That's how long ago this was. And I was very slow. And so they had to come rescue me because I was being chased by a fire truck with its siren on, scaring the bejesus out of me. Because I was about 4 at the time.
What an exciting town Sulphur Springs is. If you've never been, I know we talk about the Moreland Free Fair. I know we talk about the community days down in Spiceland, all wonderful festivals. The Sulphur Springs Community Mud Bog and Tractor Emporium is an event.
We have all the stuff big cities have. We just have cornfields in between the various event venues and not ghettos.
This is legendary. All right, with that, most of us will see you next week.